The first reading can be found on page 1194 in the Pew Bibles, or page 2097 in the large print version. It's taken from Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 6, beginning at verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who will testify before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring you in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their faith, their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so they may take hold of the life that is truly life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The gospel can be found on page 1050 of the Pew Bibles, or page 1854 of the large print version. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke 16, 19 to 31.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The rich man and Lazarus. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angel carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I'm in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. He answered, Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, They have Moses and the prophet. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone comes from the dead, goes to them, they will repent. He said to them, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Prayer as we stand. Heavenly Father, we have received your precious word. Please would you help us now to hear it and receive it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Do please be seated, everybody. I did not know when I began to prepare this sermon that I would be sharing it with you in such a unique and special moment in the history of our nation. The parable we've heard is a sobering one in which Jesus deals with the realities of life and death, heaven and hell. These are hard things to discuss, and especially so when we ourselves are close to death, perhaps the death of a loved one, or in moments such as this, when, though we may not have personally known the Queen, she was nonetheless a valued an important person who we are aware is now gone. Nonetheless, Jesus cared about these issues enough to talk about them in this story. And I think that in them, even for us here in this moment, he wants us to find both a warning and a comfort. So let's listen together then as he tells us the story. It's the story of a distracted man. Verse 19, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. We were introduced to this rich man, and the only thing Jesus tells us about him at first is his lifestyle. Purple cloth, white linen, daily feasting, these are all the signs of conspicuous wealth, conspicuous consumption. It might all seem a little excessive. And indeed, in our first reading, we were warned, weren't we, about the dangers of chasing after riches and wealth. However, being rich in and of its own self is not necessarily sinful. It's not necessarily bad. You'll remember Job, the man from the Old Testament. We're told he was the richest man in the East. And God said of him, he is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. In and of itself, it is no sin to be rich. Maybe this man's wealth was the result of a strong work ethic or shrewd investments. Perhaps he started out with nothing and earned every penny. Perhaps he had had good opportunities to start with, but had made the most of them. But there is something awry with this rich man. And Jesus wants us to notice it, and he shows it to us by telling us about the man's neighbour. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. This poor Lazarus, lying at the rich man's gate, reveals to us something deep about the rich man. He doesn't listen to God. God cares about how we treat people. Love your neighbor as yourself, God says. And Lazarus is lying there, just outside the rich man's front door, longing for the scraps of his food, and yet the rich man gave him, it seems, nothing. God cares about how we treat the poor. Here's how he commands his people to treat the poor in Deuteronomy chapter 17. If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards them. Give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. There will always be poor in your land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed towards your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. And yet, the rich man gives Lazarus, it seems, nothing. We mentioned Job, that very rich man who God said was righteous in the Old Testament. He was someone who listened to God, who was able to say, I have not denied the desires of the poor, or let the eyes of the widow grow weary. I have not kept my bread to myself, or failed to share it with the fatherless. But not so this rich man. The presence of Lazarus reveals something deep about the rich man. He won't listen to God. He's distracted. Distracted from God's instruction for his life. Distracted, it seems, by the great time that he is having. We know that temptation, don't we? The temptation to lose yourself in the here and now. The temptation to become focused on making our experience here and now as good and comfortable as possible, rather than listening to how God says we should order our lives. We can distract ourselves from that call of God upon us by immersing ourselves in his good gifts, prioritizing the now things over the forever things. I know that temptation every single day. Perhaps you do too. That's who this rich man Jesus introduces us to is, someone who doesn't listen to God because he's distracted. That's his deep reality. Jesus shows us something about Lazarus' deep reality as well, and it's found in his name. Jesus never names people in his parables, never. Just think back through all the stories of Jesus you could think about that have people in them, and there's nary a name in sight. Except here. This is the only time Jesus ever names a person in one of his parables, and he gives him this name, Lazarus. But why? What does Lazarus mean? The name Lazarus means God helps. God helps. In the simple fact of giving the beggar this name, Lazarus, Jesus shows us the most important thing about him. He's trusting God. He's trusting God. He's relying on God. He has faith. Two men, one trusting in God but suffering, the other ignoring God and his instructions but comfortable and distracted. But this story about a distracted man soon becomes a story about a surprised man. Verse 22. The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in hell, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. These are hard words. The rich man is experiencing a multi-layered tragedy. And the first part of the tragedy, of course, is the awful end to which he has brought himself. But the second part of the tragedy is that he seems genuinely surprised about where both he and Lazarus have ended. Abraham replied to him, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Abraham hears his cries, but he turns down his request. He won't send Lazarus to him for two reasons. And the first reason is that he says what's happened to the rich man and to Lazarus, respectively, is right. It is right. He says, you rich man, you had a life full of good things, but distracted yourself and ignored God and his instructions. Lazarus had a life of deep and prolonged suffering and yet trusted in God. One of you was trusting in God and the other was ignoring him. What did you expect was going to happen? That was the first reason. It's right what's happened. But Abraham continues to verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. It's not only right what's happened to the rich man and Lazarus, it is permanent. The realities of our lives in the here and now bear consequences in eternity. Consequences that cannot be undone. The rich man answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so they will not come also to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone raises from the dead." Again, we see in this request the rich man makes on his brother's behalf that he has still really surprised at what's happened to him. He thinks it was unexpected, and so he wants his brothers to be warned about this unexpected thing. But Abraham's response is categorical. The rich man's brothers are already warned, just as he was, because they have the Bible. Moses and the prophets is a shorthand way of referring to the Old Testament. They have the scriptures, which are God's word of warning about the consequences of our lives now for our future eternities. So his brothers are warned. The question is not whether God will warn people about the realities of heaven and hell, but whether people will listen to him when he does. Even as an event as miraculous as the resurrection of Jesus from the dead will not persuade people of those eternal realities if our basic problem is that we won't listen to God. Will we listen, or are we distracted? Is our trust in God like Lazarus, or are we distracted by his good gifts like the rich man? Here are the two prongs of this story from Jesus. We need to be very cautious of the risk of the good things in the here and now distracting us from God and our need for him. Prong one. And prong two, we need to lean into his word in the Bible, in the scriptures, making them our daily habit, our daily bread, listening to them with faith and obedience. That cautiousness of worldly blessing and commitment to the word of God are the two lifelines Jesus is giving his people in this parable so that they don't end up in the same place as the rich man. A word for Lazarus as we close. We've focused on the rich man as we've gone through this story, and rightly so. He is the center of the story as Jesus tells it. But there is great encouragement for us also in the experience of Lazarus. The Christian message is at heart so simple. Lazarus trusted God, and through all of his sufferings, God did not fail him, but took him home. So simple. Lazarus trusted God, and God didn't let him down. As people who live on the other side of Jesus' death and resurrection from him, we can see the grounds of that trust even more clearly than he could have. We can see God in Jesus Christ dying for our sins on the cross. And we trust him. That's what it means to be a Christian. We trust him as Lord. So when he says, "Here's how you should live," we trust him. We trust him as Savior. So when he says, "If you put your hope in me, your sins will be forgiven. You can stand forgiven before God," we trust him. We trust him as Comforter. through all the long sufferings of life. We trust him. That's what it means to be a Christian. Look, there's this horribly distorted interpretation of this parable out there that says that being rich is a sin, so the rich man went to hell, and being poor and suffering is somehow a virtue, and so Lazarus went to heaven. And that is entirely twisted, because it makes it all about us. This is a story about trust and about the God who is worthy of all the trust that we can give him. It's the same trust in God through the Lord Jesus Christ that Queen Elizabeth demonstrated so often in her own life. She was very rich, but she was not distracted. She trusted God. And it is that trust which gives us the confidence to say that now she too, following in Lazarus's footsteps, is resting with him at Abraham's side. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father, this parable of Jesus is sobering. It speaks to us of troubling realities. And yet we pray we would learn the lesson and put our trust in you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.